on WNYC. By the way, Maria Bartiromo, who was just here, I'm told will be signing her new book tomorrow, September 8th, at the Wall Street Borders bookstore. At the beginning of the summer, I asked you, our listeners, to participate in the Map Your Moves project by telling us where you moved from and to and why in the past 10 years. Over 1,600 of you participated. Then we asked you designer types to try to make that information beautiful in whatever visual way you wanted. We got really impressive submissions, so we've invited each of the designers to come on the show to talk briefly about their work and what they learned. You can look at these things on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Our first two guests are Andrea Stranger, a graphic designer, and Michael Porter, a CUNY graduate student and geographer. And again, you can check out their work on our site. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show to follow along with us as we talk about their infographic or data visualization submissions on where people move. Welcome to both of you, and thank you so much for participating in this challenge and making such beautiful work.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And Andrea, you made three infographics, and they're each beautiful, and each of them you come up with a different way of focusing on the reasons that people moved. In the first one, you decided to ask the question, when rising rents forced New Yorkers to move, where did they go? Interesting way to crunch the data. What did you find?
Well, I think in a lot of ways the data sort of reflects maybe what we already expect about where people move. But I think it was really nice to see it visualized. It turned out to be really lovely. And, it was an opportunity to break it out and see how many people moved per year. And then, I think there were some patterns that emerged about people who, live in Manhattan tend to sort of either move way uptown or move over to New Jersey, where it sort of seemed that people who were on the east side of Manhattan tend to move to Brooklyn. Brooklynites tend to stay in the area, either stay in Brooklyn or Queens. So, I think a lot of it's sort of expected, but it's kind of nice just to sort of see how everything looks.
And in the second graphic, you focus more broadly on the reasons people said they moved. And while the majority moved to New York because of work or school, 68%, you also decide to give a lot of real estate on your graphic to the people who moved because of personal relationships, either because of roommate or relationship issues, which was one of our categories, because of growing family size, marriage, or divorce. So explain right. How you decided to emphasize things on the second infographic.
Well, when I was going through the data, there's a lot of people that sort of didn't want to choose one of your categories and would choose something from the other category and then type in a little biographical mm-hmm. information. And it seemed that, information about divorce and marriages and moving in and checking up and those sorts of things sort of like percolated to the surface. And I thought it sort of tells a story about the people that actually live here. And it was nice just to get that sort of overview of, New Yorkers and why they move.
And you told us off the air that you chose to focus on Staten Island for your right. third graphic. Go to WNYC.org, everybody, and click on Brian Lehr Show, and you can see these three infographics from Andrea Stranger. Staten Island, because you were surprised how few people reported moving to Staten Island and that you were inspired by a quote from one of the respondents. What was that quote?
Well, let me click through to the graphic here really quickly. I don't want to misquote her. So part of the reason Staten Island got a little focus was that there were so few people, literally only, 22 people moved into Staten Island from somewhere else. And in the other category, there was this one woman who was insistent on telling her life story rather than using any of the pull downs. And she said at one point, only marriage takes you to Staten Island. And I thought that was really funny and lovely and, certainly part of her personality. So that inspired the Staten Island graphic.
Only marriage. Listeners, you can post on our page and react to that. Is it true? Does only marriage take you to Staten Island?
Please don't let it be a reflection on me.
No. This is posted by one of our listeners. And, of course, these days, immigration to the United States also takes people to Staten Island. And those various
and also
populations are growing.
It's more of a suburb in a way. I think people think of it that way. People move to New York for work or
definitely.
School. You move to Staten Island to start a family.
Michael Porter, you made two maps, and you decided to focus on where people moved when they moved out of Manhattan, and you came up with a very clever name for this group. You call it the Manhattan Diaspora.
I think that there's always this sense of, in New York City at least, there's always this real estate pressure that occurs in certain neighborhoods, in certain parts of the city, and it sort of spreads people out. And I imagine that as a diaspora, actually.
I always thought of New York, especially as I would travel around the country. And wherever I went, it seemed like I would meet two kinds of people, people from wherever I was and displaced New Yorkers.
Yeah,
and it
absolutely.
Made me come to think of New York as a big centrifuge, growing people up and then spinning wildly and spitting them out all over the country.
Absolutely.
So what did you find with the Manhattan diaspora?
It's more or less what you'd expect. What I looked at is where people were moving from and where they were moving to. And it's what you would expect, that people were moving more or less along the Gold Coast of Brooklyn along into Park Slope. Prospect Heights, I found more people moving into Prospect Heights than I initially expected.
They want to be near the Nets.
perhaps. And that mostly people were moving from lower Manhattan, but it was actually pretty evenly distributed.
Or maybe they were hoping that they'd move into the footprint and then Bruce Ratner would buy them out for really a lot of money. And then you tried to figure out where people move when they move out of Park Slope in your Stecken graph. So you're still following this Manhattan diaspora, but to the next step.
Yeah. What I was interested here, and to a certain extent also in the first map, is that one of the interesting things about your data is that it gives the year of moving. And I was interested in the idea of waves, that people would move in one year into this neighborhood and the other year into another neighborhood. And sort of as a geographer, I'm always interested in spatial patterns, and I'm interested in that sort of evolving wave of movement. And so that's what I was trying to get at in this map, because I also tried to look at it by year as well, not just where they moved, but when they moved.
And understanding why people move is central to the study of geography, of course.
Of course.
I'm curious about the two of you coming from, I think, very different backgrounds. You from the social sciences,
yes,
in geography, and you from graphic design, the more visual side of doing what we call an infographic.
Right.
So it combines the two. Do you think that you come at these with different, I don't want to say agendas, but, kind of different perspectives that
totally
makes you see different things in the data?
Totally. And I think we were talking about this in the green room before, because I think having the opportunity to team up would have been really great, because mm-hmm. he's able to see things sort of in the larger perspective, whereas I'm sort of looking for the little stories, and I'm looking for stuff that's going to, look pretty, to be honest. If I'm going to take on a project like this, I want it to be something that's like really visually stimulating, and he's able to sort of like tell a story about waves, and so I'm listening to him totally impressed with like the context that he's able to give. So
I can't speak to Andrew's process or other designers' process on these things. One thing that was really striking in looking at the submissions and was striking and made me sort of reflect on my own work is that when I create artifacts, maps, and things like that, it's always to go with text or in the context of a presentation. So I can always talk around it. I can always fill in the gaps. They're never meant to stand by themselves. And when I look at the other sort of submissions for this, there's so much about they stand by themselves. They tell us narrative unto themselves, which is really impressive.
And I guess that's what this emerging field of data visualization is. It is social scientists teaming up with visual artists.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I know you guys worked really hard, Maria. Andrew, you told us that you took a total of 50 hours.
I know. It sounds like I don't have any other life.
What else do you do?
I'm freelance. I work from home very often, but I also do work on site for corporate companies from time to time. And it just so happened that this happened in a lull, and I was able to dedicate a lot of time. Really, it was about data parsing. I mean, like literally going through data point by data point and just writing everything out. And he was lucky enough to have some program that was able to, like, he put something in and it spit something out. I mean, I really had to go through, granularly.
So graphic designer Andrea Stranger and CUNY geography graduate student Michael Porter, thank you for giving us some beautiful stuff to look at and for teaching us some things by looking at our data so creatively. Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And again, you can see their work at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And tomorrow we'll talk to three more participants in the Map Your Moves Data Visualization Challenge. Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Rachel Senator produced this program. We had intern help today from Annalise Winnie, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. Again, check out our brand new politics website, which debuted today. It's a free country. It's right on the homepage at WNYC.org. And we thank site editor Anna Sale, our Jody Avergan, plus Kathleen Ehrlich, and the WNYC Interactive Department for working so hard on the holiday week and the holiday weekend. for this launch. That's Debbie Fountain at the Audio Controls. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Brian Lehrer.